Hi, this is Jenny Castro, and today I'm introducing an addition to the Holding It Together podcast. This is the first of three Holding It Together podcast shorts. We're using these mini episodes to introduce you to the women who will be main stage speakers this year at the third Women Doing Theology Conference organized by Mennonite Church USA's Women in Leadership. Our theme is Talking About a Revolution, Dialogue, Practice, and the Work of Liberation. And to help us explore that theme a bit more holistically, we've invited women from different and new places with quite a variety of expertise and experience. To find out more about our speakers or general information about women doing theology, go to MennoniteUSA.org/WDT18. That's MennoniteUSA.org/WDT18. Carolina Hinojosa Cisneros is a Tejana poet, freelance writer, and speaker. Her work deals with faith and Latinidad and has appeared in a variety of publications, including The Rumpus and On Being. She's got a bachelor's degree in English from the University of Texas at San Antonio. Those are her credentials. I've had the pleasure of getting to know Carolina personally over the last few months, and y'all, I cannot express with words how excited and humbled, how honored I am to call this woman my friend. Every time we connect, even if it's just a 5-minute phone call, I feel like I'm coming home. She's authentic and curious, passionate and aware. I'm so happy that she's accepted the invitation to speak at Women Doing Theology. We'll get to know our presenters' ideas, thoughts, and perspectives at the upcoming conference, but we thought these shorts would be a great opportunity to get to know these women on a human level. So y'all, meet Carolina.
The people I do life with currently are my husband, my 19-month-old baby girl, and I do life with two teenagers. I have an 18-year-old young lady. Oh my goodness, beautiful. I can't believe I have an 18-year-old and my soon-to-be 13-year-old son. I feel that at different times in my life, there are different women shaping me. It depends on where we're at in life, right? And so early on, it was my grandmother, my abuela, who influenced a lot of my sense of humor, a lot of my upbringing, my spiritual beliefs. But currently, I'm definitely influenced by mujeres with voice, women who are unapologetic, women who own who they are, they know who they are, and they just full throttle with that. And I think it's beautiful. To name one person in particular that shapes me, I cannot say, but a group of women that are go-getters and that are doing life and doing faith and doing it all without apology. I greatly look up to those women and I cling on. I hold on to those women because they are supplying voice and giving language to thoughts and concepts that I already think or I'm already on the same, except I don't have the language to identify those things. And so when I find a woman that is identifying and supplying language, and it's making my world sort of complete. And so those are the women, and they know who they are. Those are the women who are influencing me at the moment. I work full-time I get out of work. I pick up my baby girl from daycare. I come home. I feed her. I bathe her. We do life together, put her to bed, and we start all over the next day. Usually when she goes to bed, I get to work on writing, and soon I'll be starting graduate school in the fall. It's a routine for me. I really do find a lot of inspiration in reading other women, reading articles, reading books, reading other women's reflections on life, on theology. I'm very fascinated by the way that we understand God, the language that we use to explain God, and I call myself a baby theologian often, simply because I'm deeply fascinated by how we understand God. And so when other women are doing that process and I'm reading their work, their reflection, how they take Matthew apart, how they view Moses from the eyes of a woman, that to me is deeply inspirational. And my childhood stories that we've grown up with forever, I find that more and more we're losing those stories. We're not passing them on to our children. We're just not vocalizing them anymore. And if God has given me the gift of writing, there's no excuse for not documenting and carrying on those stories. And so that's a huge responsibility that I think poets and writers, people that understand how to use their gifts, I think it's deeply important that we carry on these stories, whether that outlet is through essays or poetry. I'm deeply moved by how others or how we understand God and provide the language for that. So my grandmother lives out in the country, and mm-hmm. I grew up with her. You know, running around in the dirt was our thing. We would swim in an old white porcelain tub, and it was just the best time for me and my cousins. We'd put the manguera in there and just go crazy. All the cousins stuck in this white bathtub. So we'd spend a lot of time outside, a lot of time. And so my grandma always warned us not to be going outside without socks and shoes. It didn't matter how hot it was. You couldn't go outside in chanclas, first of all, because of the poison ivy, and second, because of la mala mujer, which are, it's a Texas bull nettle is what they call them. They're weeds. If you've mowed the lawn, it's fine, but we used to go way in the back of my grandma's home, and we'd go, and our imagination was amazing. We would just go in the woods and pretend we were in another place altogether. And so sure enough, whenever you saw La Mala Mujer, you'd just go around her, you know, you respect her space, but a lot of times we didn't see her. And so she looks like a fuzzy plant. It's a very, very fuzzy plant. And sure enough, oh, she got me once, and it's a lot of pain. It's probably worse than a bee sting. And it's a patch that it covers, so all these little white follicles come out. It's all these little white fuzzy follicles that kind of get all over your skin and are a good reminder to respect the space of what is indigenous to the land. I hope you enjoy. It's called Soy Tejana. Mexico and Spain wage war under my medium brown skin as I brush against La Mala Mujer. Tiny white follicles attack my ankle, and it nears eruption when my tongue lets loose in Spanglish. My right foot burns a betrayal of the body, and I fall into the dirt, palms face down, face upright, lest La Mala Mujer grazes my face as well, como una cachetada. My grandmother hears my verbal attack as it pierces the air, forming an arrowhead to her ear. She runs out of the back door, I assume, because we don't use the front door all that often. From the side stoop, she calls my name in Spanish, Carolina! It's a mixture of frustration and worry. I know better than to play outside in the dirt without socks and shoes. Cowering in pain, I limp toward her. She opens the door, lets me in, grabs the calamine lotion, which is always handy for such a time as this. I squeeze my ankle when she reaches down, lathers it in pink Pepto-Bismol-looking liquid, shooing my hands como moscas. She instructs me to lay down on the couch, careful not to get any on the cushions. My grandmother is always prepared for unexpected company. I lay on the couch, forearms over my eyes, my face a mixture of sweat, dirt, tears, and mocos. The pain is unbearable. A few hours later, I am walking with a minor rash, no longer swollen, and quickly forget the pain. Tomorrow, I will venture outside, and for the rest of my life, I will recall La Mala Mujer as I navigate spaces not meant for me to show up in without being properly prepared. 2. I attend a writing conference. A woman asks, "What does Tejana mean?" After reading my lime, green, and pink business card decorated in nopalitos, she forms a sweet smile across her face. Her eyes beam as she touches her hand lightly to her chest. Her body language offers an invitation to answer. Her question disarms me. She is interested in what that particular word means and what that all has to do with her. I've never been asked this question. I'm from Texas. I grew up on Tejano music, cumbias, and the best Tex-Mex food money will ever buy, I mourned, along with the rest of my 10th grade, 5th period class at Southside High School, the afternoon Selena was murdered. I distinctly remember when we stopped going to Mexico because instead of using our American accents to cross the border, Homeland Security now required a passport to visit my abuela Esperanza. The days of shouting, "I am an American citizen," from the backseat of my mother's white Pontiac Cutlass Supreme with a red leather interior that stuck to the back of mine and my siblings' legs in the sweltering border heat, no longer held any weight. We were brown Americans, and we had to prove that. We continually have to prove that. I answered the woman, "It means I'm from Texas and of Mexican heritage, because when my great-grandparents were young, the border crossed them, separating Mexico and Texas indefinitely. It is spelled with a J, because Tejas is a term in Nahuatl, an indigenous language of Mexico. It means friendly." I want to say, "I am Tejana," to accentuate that I am a South Texas native before the border grew rabid with hunger, establishing the separation of countries. When the border grew hungry, it split the continent of my body in half, always reminding me that I am neither here nor there. It reminds me that I am not Mexican and not American enough. It pierced my tongue como una serpiente, requiring me to choose between my Spanish and my English. The hunger of the border gentrified me before I ever knew that term existed. 3. I am no longer a kid playing in the dirt, sin zapatos o calcetines. I am an educated brown woman who is first asked to be a history book before I'm ever asked about my essays or my poetry. This is what colonization looks like. Its effects are systemic, requiring those native to our own land to prove our own worth on our own soil. When Spain colonized Mesoamerica, it gentrified the Aztec Empire, causing descendants to always question our roots, our heritage, our worth. Colonization empowers split identities. Colonization lends permission to the colonizer to continue to gentrify the language, culture, and belief of a people. I negate this permission because I exist in spaces never meant for me to thrive in. As a Christian Latina, I bring with me all the ways Spain and Mexico have stolen danza from my native ancestors. I bring with me the crossing of borders because Mexico was too big to contain. I bring with me the language of those before and the grace of God on my tongue, where we were crucified on our own land. I find the war still alive in weeds como la mala mujer. I find the glory of hope in the nopal, whose tuna blooms and bows in adoration. I find hope where Jesus wept in desert sands, so similar to the land I stand on now. I navigate the in-between spaces of culture, language, and belief, what Gloria Anzaldúa calls Nepantla, porque soy Tejana. There's multiple labels that I have heard and have seen played out, and I've never felt comfortable embodying some of these labels because I feel that you have to unpack the history of certain labels or certain identities before you can start to self-identify as these things. For a long time, I didn't call myself Tejana. For a long time, I didn't call myself Mujerista. For a long time, I didn't call myself Chicana. I felt like in order to respect those fully embodying this identity, that I had to first unpack what that meant for me. What does Latinx? What does that mean? What does it mean to be Chicana? What does it mean, you know, to be Mujerista and not feminist? Before self-identifying, I really wanted to make sure I knew. And so connecting La Mala Mujer to my Tejana identity was just, that was it. That was the first vision I had, the first experience.
If you haven't already, please make plans to attend Women Doing Theology. We'll be talking about a revolution together with Carolina and our other remarkable presenters, Dr. Melinda Elizabeth Berry and Reverend Yvette Blair, and of course, all of you. You insightful and wise women who do theology every day as you live your lives. Find out all about the conference and register at MennoniteUSA.org/WDT18. Again, that's MennoniteUSA.org/WDT18. And be on the lookout for upcoming Holding It Together podcast shorts featuring Dr. Berry and Reverend Blair. And y'all, we're still breaking silences. We've got another episode coming soon, and I can't wait for you to hear it. If you've got a topic you think we need to talk more about, please send me a voice memo at jennifer.c@mennoniteusa.org and tell me about your subject. Perhaps you'll be featured on our Breaking Silences Talkback episode. This episode was produced by me, Jenny Castro, with editing help from Shay Langley. Our theme music was written and recorded by the incredibly talented singer-songwriter Addie Lichty. To find more music by Addie, look for Addie and the Subjects on Facebook or Addie Lichty on YouTube. Holding It Together is a joint production of Mennonite Church USA's Office of Women in Leadership and the Mennonite Inc. Look for us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Fireside, or wherever you prefer. If you have a second, please rate and review us. And please tell your friends about us. I'm your host, Jenny Gastro. Thanks for listening, y'all. Talk soon.